Welcome to our special NAIDOC Week 2025 podcast. NAIDOC Week is a time to celebrate the history, culture and achievements of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples. This year, we're honoured to speak with two incredible creatives, renowned Indigenous artist Linda Smith-Pinunka. Did I say that right, Linda?
Yes, you did.
Very good. And author-historian Karen Warwick about their collaborative work, Hunting Time. This intricate artwork weaves together Aboriginal storytelling, environmental knowledge and cultural traditions. It's part of the Beachmere Collective Memory Series, consisting of three books, Beachmere Then and Now, Beachmere Revisited and Beachmere Digging Deeper. The artwork highlights the wisdom of traditional custodians in reading the land, sea and stars. Linda, Karen, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks, Debbie. It's an honour to be here.
Thank you, Debbie. It's lovely.
It's lovely to have you both. So this is going to be really exciting.
It really is.
Yes. So let's talk about something. So how about the inspiration behind Hunting Time? Linda, let's start with you. I know you're dying to start chatting. How did the idea for Hunting Time come about?
Thank you, Debbie. This piece was inspired by deep conversations about Indigenous knowledge systems and the importance of reading the land and sky. Karen had been travelling through the Northern Territory and learning from traditional owners about how natural signs, like stars, plants and animal behaviour, guide hunting and food gathering. She had a wealth of stories when she came home. In Beachmere, also known as Gimboomba, one key marker is the Kwandong tree. When its tiny white flowers bloom between September and November, it's a sign to look up. The Southern Cross and the pointers will be low on the horizon. This tells us it's time to hunt for stingray in the intertidal zones of Moreton Bay. This time is significant for a few reasons. First, the stingrays are more plentiful in these coastal waters due to the breeding cycles. Second, it's the right seasonal window based on sustainability when they can be hunted responsibly without impacting future populations. Third, the environment conditions, including water, temperature and tides, make them easier to locate in estuarine areas. But at the same time, sharks also on the hunt, so we must be careful.
And that's the beauty of traditional knowledge. It's always holistic. It tells you when, why, how much to take, and how to give back. It's a relationship with country, not just a practice.
That's wonderful. And when I'm looking at the paintings here in the studio, you see the intricacy with the Kwandong flowers. It's just amazing. They're just beautiful. You must have loved painting those, Linda.
I definitely did. They're a true inspiration to paint these paintings. Yay. Yes, definitely.
So how about we have a chat about how stingrays were hunted and prepared? That connection to place and practice is so powerful. Can you tell us more about how the stingrays were caught and prepared?
Definitely. In this area, we're talking about estuary rays, so they're found in the intertidal zones, shallow and often muddy. The painting shows a warrior with a pronged spear, standing ready. That's how they would have been hunted, wading carefully, watching for movement and striking with precision. Only what was needed was taken, never more.
And stingrays were an important food source. We believe that the flesh was usually cooked, while the nutrient-rich liver, high in iron and vitamins, was sometimes eaten raw. Nothing was wasted. Bones and cartilage were used for tools and the spines for spear tips. These marine creatures were seen as ancestral gifts and harvested with deep cultural knowledge. They are a protected species now. And there's so much bush tucker around Beachmere. For example, bungwall fern tubers were gathered and prepared to form a starchy cake. Kwandong berries could be eaten fresh or used in cooking. And the pigface plant provided both food and medicinal benefits. Meals were often a mix of what was seasonal and abundant. Some foods could be dried or preserved, but stingray was likely eaten fresh, especially given the abundance during this time.
So how long has the stingray been a protected species?
I'm not quite sure. Since the marine park has been established within the Moreton Bay,
okay.
I believe that that's the timeline for that.
I've often wondered what they tasted like, because I've never tasted a stingray, but
no.
Have you ever tasted one?
No, I'm vegetarian,
oh.
So there you go. I'm the wrong one to ask.
That is.
No, I've only ever eaten goanna and kangaroo because actually from Alice Springs.
Yeah. Well done. Okay, well, let's talk more artistic interpretation. Linda, how did you bring all of this into your painting?
I broke the artwork into three sections, sky, sea and land. The top panel shows the night sky, the Southern Cross and the pointers, because that's the signal that it's stingray time. I painted a warrior, patient, waiting with the pronged spear, inspired by the talons of the sea eagle. The middle panel is the sea. Silver and blue tones ripple across the canvas to show the shimmer of water and the silent movement of rays below the surface. There's a shadow of a shark too, because we always knew we weren't the only hunters. The bottom panel is land, with sandy tones and a blooming kwandong tree. That's a seasonal marker, but it's also bush tucker. Like the gumnut blossom, it's one of nature's calendars. Everything is layered, like a story. Every dot has a role.
That's a beautiful description, Linda. Really beautiful. You sort of took me there into the painting.
Yes, the painting took over 120 hours.
That's a long time. 120 hours. So in terms of 120 hours, did it take you 12 months or did you sit there and paint for 120 straight hours?
Oh, no, that was over maybe four to 6 month period.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yep.
So, took over your life.
Yeah, yes, it does.
Really did.
With me asking every so often, where are we up to?
Yes.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yes.
Well, how about we talk about blending colours for authenticity? So can you talk us through your process for getting the colours just right?
Yeah, sure. It's all about patience and respect for the source. I don't use colours straight from a tube. I mix them to reflect what's real. The ochres, reds and warm yellows for the earth. For water, I blend blues with greens and whites to reflect light and depth. Even the off-white of the kwandong flowers have to be toned down. White is just too bright and it would look artificial. So the berries are deep, muted blue, true to how they appear in the wild. Sometimes I'll mix a colour, let it dry and come back to it, like the stories we tell. The layers build over time.
Gosh, there's so much work and thought put into it.
Definitely is, yes.
So the cultural significance. Karen, how do you see hunting time fitting into the bigger picture of cultural storytelling?
Well, this painting, Hunting Time, is like a visual songline. For thousands of years, Aboriginal people have passed down survival knowledge through stories, where to find food, how to move across country, how to read the sky. These aren't just stories, they're living maps. And what we're trying to do here is honour that tradition, but in a contemporary way, bringing it into a new medium while holding on to the integrity of the knowledge.
My favourite, well, both paintings are probably my favourites, but there's a really special one there with all the mullet in the middle being rounded up by the dolphins. So that was the first collaboration, wasn't it, the mullet run? So before Hunting Time, you worked together on the mullet run. Can you tell us about that?
Absolutely. The mullet run was our first project together for Beachmere Revisited, and it came from a story stone piece that I'd written about dolphins and mullet. I also wrote a poem as to how I envisaged it all happening. Now, Linda's talent in the mullet run painting, which, by the way, is over 200 hours
of
painstaking work. She captures the Aboriginal seasonal calendar and the marking of the winter months when mullet migrate along the coast in large schools. Now, the gumnut blossom signal the season's arrival, while offspray circle above the water watching for fish. In the centre, dolphins herd mullet into tight groups, driving them towards the shore, a natural hunting method that Aboriginal people observed and used to their advantage. Working with the dolphins, they would cast nets or use spears to harvest this rich seasonal bounty from the sea. It's something that Petrie and Fairholme both observed and wrote about. The presence of the red in the painting represents the red sap from the mangrove trees that the Aborigines used to strengthen and waterproof their nets. Every element in this painting tells a story.
I was already sketching gumnut blossoms at the time when we met. It felt like Karen's poem and artwork were made to go together. It evolved from there. It shows how everything's connected. When one plant blooms, a particular food source becomes available. Or we look up at the stars for the right time to move. That's how traditional custodians manage the land, through observation, rhythm and care. And in times of plenty, that abundance was shared.
Sounds like it was fate that the two of you met to collaborate, wasn't it?
Yes, definitely. Yes, definitely. Yes. It's been a strong friendship come from it. It's
isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, yes. Absolutely.
I suppose when you work together on such a wonderful project, you've got to feel a lot towards it. So,
yeah.
We're like sisters now.
Yeah, the feeling towards each other, also just the connection. There was just that connection from the start, and it just felt so easy to work with Karen. And
that's wonderful.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the creative process and what's next. What's the creative process like between the two of you?
It's like having a yarn and building something at the same time. We talk over cuppas and the ideas just flow between us. I jot down sketching ideas and colour thoughts. It's fluid. Sit there for hours.
We actually do. Yeah. And the visuals sometimes shift the words. I might rewrite a line if the painting brings a new layer to the story. It's a back and forth, but always it's about truth and honouring the knowledge.
So where can people see Hunting Time and what's ahead?
Well, it's featured in Beachmere Digging Deeper, the third book in the series. And if you have a read, that gives the context and cultural depth of the artwork.
And we've also entered it into the Moreton Bay Art Prize 2025. If it's shortlisted, which we'll know on the 16th of April, it will be on display at Pine Rivers Art Gallery from May the 24th to July the 19th. And we're planning an exhibition in February 2026, Art and Storytelling Together in a Community Space. These stories need to be kept alive and we need to keep sharing them.
So there's this wonderful poem called The Mullet Run. Are you going to read that to us today, Karen?
I certainly am.
Okay, well, over to you.
All right. So have a look at the picture, Debbie, while I'm having a read and see if you can see if my words paint as good a picture as
I'm sure
Linda's
they will.
Painting. The Mullet Run. The blossoms kiss the water. There's a mass of silver fins in the chill of winter time. As the mullet run begins, the warrior holds his hand aloft, waiting to give the sign, while women gather wood and fern, ready for the feasting time. He drops his hand and signals to give the spear a shake and call their dolphin friends in behind the mullet's wake. Eagle and osprey circle high above, the dolphins dart and dance as the mullet near the nets, the warriors take their chance. The warriors haul in the catch using all their skill and might. The mob on the shore all gather and feast long into the night. Thanks to the ancestors for all that has been done, and the blossoms kiss the water and the mullet start their run.
Wow, that was amazing. And the painting is just amazing as well. And you can follow, you can actually see everything happening in the painting as you read it, which is pretty special.
Yeah, that's why we're doing so well together.
We are. Yes. It's, Karen's way of her poems and the way she can put words down are absolutely amazing, which is not my creative in any way, but I can paint the painting.
Yes, it is amazing. This has been such an enriching conversation. Hunting Time is more than a painting. It's reigniting the embers of memory, of story, and bringing it back into our knowing. Thank you, Linda and Karen, for your time. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in. Would you like to say goodbye to everybody, ladies?
Goodbye, everybody. Thank you for listening.
Yes, see you later. Catch you next time. Bye.
Yes, it was lovely to have you. This NAIDOC week, let's keep learning, listening and celebrating the oldest living cultures on Earth. Until next time.